We asked Jacob Bender to join us in this portion of Ballot Talks on Radio Times. He's the executive director of the Council on American Islamic Relations, Philadelphia. And Jacob Bender, nice to have you with us on the show.
Thank you, Marty.
What's the significance of what the president, first of all, the president going to this mosque in Baltimore and what he said? What's the significance?
I think the significance of the president's visit to the mosque in Baltimore was of an historic nature. Given all the attacks which have been directed against Muslim Americans and the religion and the faith of Islam, this was a statement made that those attacks are unacceptable. And that the political rhetoric is out of bounds within the American political discourse.
Some have said, what took the president so long? This is, you know, his final year in office. Do you share some of that criticism?
I was very moved by the speech, and I think we people of faith want to view human nature in the best possible way. But I think that there were political questions that we could ask about why it took the president so long, as well as things he did not mention in the speech.
Such as?
One of the deep causes of resentment in the Muslim and, by extension, Arab world is the presence of American troops and the continual war in Afghanistan, the total carnage that resulted from the American invasion of Iraq, and the persistence of a hellhole called Guantanamo. All of these have very, very negative impacts upon the perceptions of the United States by Muslims both here and around the world. But again, it was a wonderful speech, and I would want to stress the positive out of it today.
The president, of course, he wasn't in the Senate, but he did oppose the war in Iraq. He's been trying to close Guantanamo Bay since he came in office. He has been unsuccessful to do that. Are you saying that he needs to do more or say more about that?
I think that American policy, both pro and con, has an effect upon U.S. Muslim, Western Muslim relations in the world. It's a terribly complex subject that can't be answered, you know, with a soundbite, contrary to some politicians' need to say, you know, some magic formula to condemn terrorism. But for sure, how the United States acts in the world has an impact upon how Muslim majority countries perceive of the United States. If we continue drone bombings, if we continue the war in Afghanistan, if we continue not closing Guantanamo, these policies have impact in the real world.
Has, and perhaps even since September 11th, but maybe even in more recent years because of attacks by people who describe themselves as Muslims, has that made this a more dangerous country for Muslims?
Yes. The persistence of attacks done by extremists within the Muslim community, those who claim Islam as the justification for heinous acts, for war crimes. Of course, that has an impact upon how non-Muslim Americans, the vast majority of people in this country, perceive of their Muslim neighbors. But as the president pointed out, it's an infinitesimally small number. And we who work to support the Muslim community want nothing more than asking our fellow Americans to judge the Muslim community by the same standards of which they judge the Christian community, which also produces its own extremists. The same factor, or the same way that we should judge the Jewish community, which also has its own extremists. And so, as the president said, and perhaps echoing George Bush, who went to a mosque,
Shortly after
3 days afterwards, and took off his shoes and said, Islam is a religion of peace.
Interestingly, a new study that's come out from the Pew Research Center, we'll be talking more about it as the hour progresses, but something like 68% of Americans see the problem of religious violence as being about, quote, violent people using religion to justify their actions. Mm. So for many Americans, they don't associate Islam with violence. For many of them, they see people, in a sense, hijacking either this religion or that religion for their own violent ends.
I would agree certainly with that conclusion, but we should still remember that many media outlets and internet sites propose or keep talking about Islam as a danger. The mobilization against the desperate Syrian refugees trying to come in, where Germany has taken thousands and thousands, and we've taken 2,000, according to that long article in the New York Times. That's a disgrace. As someone whose parents and grandparents sought refuge in this country and came through Ellis Island, the greatness of this country is built on immigration, and those who propose a curtailment of immigration based on racial or religious stereotypes are ignorant of the facts of American history.
Would you say part of the greatness is, yes, immigration, but also religious tolerance, that we are a more tolerant, at least try to be a more tolerant country than others?
I don't know about...
Maybe not perfectly?
It's difficult to compare to other countries, but we can say that the idea of religious freedom in the Constitution is not a guarantee. It's a promise that has to be fulfilled many times by people within this country. And so the exact same attacks which are now directed against Muslim Americans, using the same language, people attack Catholics in this country over 100 years ago, that Catholicism, according to them, was somehow anathema and not compatible with democracy, that Catholics owed their allegiance to a foreign power. We hear the same language today directed at Muslims.
I wonder whether the president also has a more complicated path, in that a third of, I believe, Americans or a third of Republicans believe that he is a Muslim, or perhaps even a secret Muslim, and that's not a compliment, but that there he's always been viewed by a certain subset of the population as other, as foreign, as Muslim.
I wonder how many percent also consider the earth to be 6,000 years old and flat as well. A presidential candidate yesterday, in relation to Obama's visit, said, well, perhaps he just feels comfortable there. Cold language, if there ever was one. Many commentators have pointed out that perhaps it is nothing more than the persistence of prejudice against the color of his skin. And people who are historically racist and psychologically incapable of recognizing the humanity of people different from themselves in terms of skin color will jump to the nearest conspiracy theory.
Do you think this presidential campaign has been bad for religious tolerance?
Well, it's, yes, I think there's a silver lining here. There's an hourglass effect. I think that extremism against Muslims has certainly risen, but I think the number of people who have rallied to the Muslim community, particularly in Philadelphia, is astounding. After the desecration, somebody threw a pig's head at a local mosque here, Al-Aqsa Mosque, and the next week at a public picnic at the mosque, there were hundreds of people who came out, Jews and Christians and Sikhs and Buddhists, to express solidarity with their Muslim brothers and sisters.
We're almost out of time here. You are the executive director of the Council on American-Islamic Relations, Philadelphia, and you're not Muslim. You're Jewish.
I am not Muslim. I don't even play one on TV. I come from a rich, culturally Jewish background and family, where the idea of social justice was ingrained into us from an early age, where the idea of Tikkun HaOlam, Hebrew for repairing the world, was a religious mandate and obligation. And I see the Muslim community as experiencing many of the same persecutions and attacks that the Jewish community faced, both in this country and abroad. And I'm lending my hand to service the Muslim community, as well as trying to recapture hundreds of years of Muslim-Jewish solidarity and living together in relative tranquility and cultural sharing and cross-fertilization that they did in around the Mediterranean throughout the Middle Ages. And so it's a great privilege for me to work for the Council on American Islamic Relations and to bring my background and talents to the Muslim community.
So living the dialogue then?
It's living the dialogue. It's an amazing community. I've been accepted across the board. I've heard not one disparaging remark about my not being Muslim and being Jewish from anyone in the Muslim community. On the other hand, there have been some attacks from within my own community and from other people who look down upon anyone who befriends Muslims in this country, and which is a shame. And inshallah, God willing, we hope it changes.
Well, we have to end our interview on that note. Jacob Bender, thank you very much for joining us today on Ballot Talks and Radio Times.
Thank you, Marty. Pleasure to be here.
Nice to have you with us. And